Today's Gospel for Trinity Sunday is taken from the very end of Matthew's Gospel. Jesus is about to leave earth to return to his Father, and so he gives his 11 disciples what we call the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So I just said these words recently here in this church, this afternoon actually, because I baptized little Juniper Jerebek right at this font and said these words: Juniper, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tonight my niece and nephews are here, and I said the same words years ago when I baptized each of them. Claire, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and the boys as well. So with these words, Jesus does something very significant. He reveals a mystery that had been hidden for thousands of years, a mystery that was hinted at once in a while in the Old Testament, but that only came to be known in Jesus. And that's that God, while one, is also three. That in the one God is a trinity of persons: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Doesn't say this anywhere in the Old Testament. This is a new revelation that Jesus brings. Three persons, one God. Clearly, this is a great mystery. So we use the word person to describe the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But this isn't the same as talking about me as a person or you as a person, because we are separate beings, separate things. But the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not separate beings or separate things. It's actually incorrect to say that together they compose a being at all, because God isn't simply a being like the big guy in the sky. It's a really bad way to refer to God, because God's just not a being out there like we are beings here. God's not a being in the universe. Why? Because God created the universe, so he can't be another thing in the universe. But rather, St. Thomas Aquinas called God ipsum esse subsistens, which means the sheer act of to be itself, being itself. So God's not a being like we're a being. So when we say that God is three persons, we don't mean that God is three like the Peñas family is three sitting right next to each other right now, because they're all three different things. But God is not three different things. Someone asked St. Augustine once why we called the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three persons. And he said, it's so that we have something to say when people ask us what they are. So in other words, this great doctor of the church was acknowledging the poverty of our language, as well as the poverty of even our mind's own ability to conceive of the mystery of who God is. St. Anselm was asked a similar question. Why do we call the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three persons? And he said he called them nescioquids, which in Latin means kind of something like the I don't know whats. God is made of three, I don't know what they are. St. Thomas Aquinas said that the three persons of the Holy Trinity are subsistent relations. And I think that's really interesting and helpful, actually, because if I'm a subsistent being, and this altar is a subsistent being. And so I have a relationship with the altar that has to do with location and space. We're about 8 feet away from each other, and I can't be in the same place that the altar is because we would push each other out of the way. So we have a relationship. But with God, it's different. So what St. Thomas is saying is that the relationship itself between the persons of the Trinity are subsistent beings. So the Father, so this is what we mean when I'm saying this, that the Father is not the Father unless there's the Son. And the Son is not the Son unless there's the Father. And so the relationship between the Father and the Son is essential to the Father and the Son being called the Father and the Son. And the Holy Spirit is the love that unites the Father and the Son. And so the three, we can't think of them existing on their own, like you can think of the altar existing on its own or me existing without the altar. With the persons of the Holy Trinity, it's actually impossible for us to think about the Father, because even the word Father means that there's a child. And even the word Son means that he came from somewhere. And even the word Holy Spirit, the Spirit means breath. So even the Holy Spirit means that someone breathed. And that's the Father and the Son who breathe out the Holy Spirit. So the reason that I think that this is important, it's not just because I like to geek out with theology, but it's actually because all these concepts, Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, help us to understand what St. Paul means when he says that God is love. Because that's a very mysterious thing to say. If I was the only thing that existed and there was nothing else, I couldn't be love, and I couldn't love. So when St. John says that God is love, what he's implying is that in God there's a lover whom we call the Father, and that there's a beloved whom we call the Son, and that there's the love that's shared between them, whom we call the Holy Spirit. That God himself is a communion of love. I guess I when I was praying about this today, what I kept thinking about is an analogy that I think is helpful to understand why this is good news for us. And that has to do with the love between a man and a woman. So when a man and a woman love each other and their love is authentic, they are blessed and others are blessed outside of them. So if you're dating somebody, I always like to say this at the high school, if you're dating somebody, ask your close friends what they think of your relationship. Ask your parents what they think of your relationship. The reason is this. Because when we're in a dating relationship, if that relationship is authentically loving, our relationship with that person is gonna make our relationships with others better. Because because love is generative. Authentic love produces life. And so if I'm dating someone and it's a good relationship, if it's authentically loving, I'm gonna be a better son to my parents, and a better brother to my siblings, and a better friend to my friends. And if it's the opposite, if my relationship with my parents suffers because of the relationship I'm in, or with the rest of my family, or with my friends, it's a pretty good sign that it's not a relationship of authentic love. The greatest analogy, actually, for the life-giving quality that love has is in a married couple. Because what happens This is how powerful God's love is, or that love is that God has made. What happens when the man and the woman who've made promises to each other, binding them together for life and marriage, when the love between that couple is expressed most profoundly, which is when it's expressed both spiritually and physically, their love is so powerful that it has the possibility of being generative, of creating another person. So this is the amazing power that authentic love has. It's generative, we would say. So it's generative in terms of being procreative within marriage, but it's also generative when it comes to our personal relationships and our personal life. A married couple who love each other authentically is going to make a great difference in the world by blessing the people around them. So to bring this back, this is why it's such good news to know that God is love, and to know that what St. Paul tells us, which is that the love of God has been poured into our hearts. And where does that happen? Well, it happens at the baptismal font, first of all. Because when we're baptized, we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the love of God. And so we receive the love of God into our very selves, and that begins generating within us. That begins producing fruit. That gift is completed in the sacrament of confirmation. When the love of God is poured into our hearts even more through that sacrament, every time we receive one of the sacraments, actually, the love of God and the Holy Spirit is poured into our hearts. And what's the effect of that? Well, it purifies us, sanctifies us, makes us more loving, helps us to bless other people in our life because it makes us better. That's what love does. That's what authentic love does. Today, Jesus says, gives us the great mandate. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. You know, sometimes we might think this is simply the call to evangelize, and it's all of our call to share the gospel with others. Sometimes we might think, what am I bringing people into? If I'm bringing people into the church, what am I bringing them into? Well, authentically, if we're living the authentically Christian life, that means that we're living a life of love. And that's what our parish should feel like. It should feel like a parish of people whose hearts are on fire with love for God. And then that produces fruit in love for one another. So that we take care of each other. And we try to build up relationships with one another. We do outreach to the greater community. So actually, if we're living our faith in this way, what we're inviting people into is simply to live the love that God is and to respond to that love. So today, brothers and sisters, this is what Jesus wants us to know about what he's doing here at the altar. He's giving his life out of love for us. So that we can be touched by the very love of the Holy Trinity, so that we ourselves can live our lives in response to the love that we've received and bless others.